What an introduction. For those of you who've got good memories, this is about the third consecutive year, and it's about the same time that Andrew's asked me to do a message on the theme of giving. And it made me think again, do I just pick up the messages that we've looked at before, or what's God really saying about all this? And I want to look at things rather differently today. We normally look at the moment at which a gift of money or service leaves our hands, and we call that giving. But I'm increasingly uncertain that this is a biblical way of looking at it. Because if you made an investment in something, knowing that sooner or later you'd get that investment back, you wouldn't call that giving, would you? And I want to show you this morning that Scripture shows us that there is a bigger picture of God's economy here. And we don't always see it. Now, for some of you, the things I'm going to share with you might mean you need to do a fairly radical rethink of the way you manage your time and your money and your gifts and the way you do life. It's challenged me a lot this last week or so, thinking about this, I'll be honest with you. So I'd like you to just join me on a bit of a journey. If you've already committed your life to Christ, you've been, what the scripture says, born again. And that born again bit is important because it means that you've been adopted into a new family, into God's family, and that you've become citizens of a new kingdom, the kingdom of heaven. And you sort of have dual nationality, if you like, because for a while we're citizens of the country where we sit at the moment, but we're also citizens of another kingdom. And a kingdom that ultimately will last in the future. So we've got dual citizenship now, but there will become a time when we only have one citizenship. And as Christians, that will be the citizenship of heaven. Now, a kingdom is defined, as those of you interested in politics will know, by having its own life codes and by having its own currency. And that is just the same in the kingdom of heaven. If you're going to visit another country, and I know some of you have travelled a bit recently, however much money you've got back at home, it's worth nothing unless it's acceptable in the place that you're going to. So what do? You exchange your money before you go. Yeah? It's the only sensible thing to do. And turning up in the middle of Africa or whatever with a bunch of £5 notes is just stupid. It won't work. And it's exactly the same with the currency of the kingdom of heaven. They say you can't take your money with you. But Scripture says you can send it on ahead. Because for a time, you are working as citizens of two kingdoms in two currencies now. And it's possible for you to transfer money in from one currency into another currency now. Let's see what Jesus says. We've read in the passage earlier on, store up for yourselves treasures in heaven. The purses of heaven never get old or develop holes. Your treasure will be safe. No thief can steal it, no moth destroy it. Wherever your treasure is, there your heart will also be. And we're told two things in these verses. Number one, that we are to store up treasure in heaven. And number two, we're told what we spend our money on earth gives a pretty clear indication of where our heart and priorities are. So, for example, if you've got a £25,000 car sat in the car park and you choose to put £250 in the gift day next week, you've made a pretty clear statement of what your priorities are. The gift is worth a hundredth of the car. And in the way that we spend our money, in the way that we do things, we create a pretty powerful statement of where our heart is. Luke 16, verse 9. Here's the lesson. And this is Jesus speaking. Use your worldly resources to benefit others and make friends. Then, when your earthly possessions are gone, they will welcome you to an eternal home. What is it that will welcome you to your eternal home? The earthly possessions you spent on other people. That's what the verse says. And if you look at Jesus' 36 parables, 17 of them are about money and possessions. And most of them talk about transferring those earthly possessions into heavenly rewards of heavenly treasure. And Jesus tells us again and again that we should focus on transferring earthly treasure into heavenly treasure. So let's look at some of the principles that how we transfer something that will rot and decay into something permanent that we may take into heaven with us. Listen to what Jesus tells the disciples in Matthew 19, 29, when they remind him of all the things that they've given up for him. Everyone, Jesus says, who has given up houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or children or property for my sake will receive 100 times as much in return and inherit eternal life. On 3 occasions in Proverbs, we're told that giving to the poor honors God, and those who mock the poor insult God. Those are powerful proverbs. And then in Proverbs 19:17, it sums up by saying this: if you help the poor, you lend to the Lord, and he will repay you. Look again at our verse in Luke 12. Store up for yourselves treasure in heaven. The purses of heaven never get old or develop holes. Your treasure will be safe. No thief can steal it. No moth destroy it. Where your treasure is, there your heart is. Do you get the gist here? It's the act of giving that transfers temporary earthly treasure into lasting spiritual wealth. And you might well say at this point, well, that's all very well, but I don't have a lot of money to give away. So those people who have got a lot of money to give away are going to be the ones who are going to be rich in heaven. That doesn't feel right. And that is exactly the thinking of the time. And Jesus wanted to make a powerful statement to his disciples. And in Mark 12, 41 to 43, we have the story that we know as the story of the widow's mite. And this is what it says in Mark 12. Jesus sat down near the collection box in the temple and watched as the crowds dropped in their money. Many rich people put in large amounts. And then a poor widow came and dropped in 2 small coins. Jesus called his disciples to him and said, I tell you the truth. This poor widow has given more than all the others who are making contributions. For they gave a tiny part of their surplus. But she, poor as she is, has given everything she had to live on. Now, the arithmetic of the kingdom is a bit topsy-turvy because the exchange rate, and we're going to look at that later on, for earthly money into heavenly treasure depends not so much on how much is given, but what proportion it is of what you have and how much you actually withhold, how much you choose not to give. And that way, the poor widow gave a much bigger gift in heavenly terms than the actual money that she put in the collection. And praise God that he doesn't need a lot of money to make big things happen. You remember the story of the miracle feeding of the 5,000. And the boy's lunch, the 5 loaves and 2 fishes, fed the multitude. It was all the boy had. And because it was all the boy had, Jesus used it to feed an entire multitude. And if you offer God all that you have, little as it may be, then he will do remarkable things with that. And when you've seen this in action, it actually changes the way you think. I want to tell you a personal story, and I hope I'm not going to blub halfway through it, but it affected me hugely. This happened to me in India some years ago. I'd gone to with Rotary to lead a surgery camp that we had funded, which was going to do work on soft skin tissue, cleft palates, split lips, burns, all these sorts of things. And I was there on behalf of our Rotary Club in the UK to sponsor this and lead this and head this up, and I was with the Indian guys. And this mum came with the baby, a toddler, and this young girl. And the young girl looked grotesque. Teeth all over the place, split lip, hair, the whole thing. She just looked grotesque. One eye, big scar on her own, dressed in tatty rags. And the guy that was with me said, take a photo. And you know how you have the one photo too many? The photo you really don't want to take. And I just said to the guy, I don't want to take this photo. And he grabbed my arm in a vice and said, take the photo. Only he added a few other words as well. So I took the photo. This little family had walked over 50 miles to get to where we were doing this camp. And this girl had no future. She was destined for prostitution of the worst possible sort. She was not marriable. She was just an absolute no future. And her mum had brought her 50 miles, and all they had was in that, you can't quite see the carrier bag, but that little carrier bag at the bottom by the right of the mum was all they had. They'd walked 50 miles. And the surgeons did the job on her. And afterwards, I said, where's that lass that came earlier on? And they pointed out the ward that she was in a little makeshift hospital. And I went to try and find her, and I couldn't find her. And I went back and said, are you sure she's there? Because I was looking for a girl in the sort of shape that I'd seen her before. And they said the bed that she was in, and I went and found her. And I took this photograph on the right. Different girl, fixed, healed, restored, and with a future. And I sat down afterwards, and when I was doing the sums for the whole project that we'd done, do you know how much it had cost us to change that little girl's life? Less than £75. And for £75, that little girl had a future. She had a life. It's less than I spend on a tank of fuel. And every time I spend £75, I think to myself, would I rather do that again? Or would I rather spend it on what I'm doing? Because you see, I don't see it as giving anymore. I see it as buying her a future. I have invested in her future. And when you see the whole transaction and the whole deal, the giving bit doesn't seem to matter. But what you've bought and what you've invested into that child will affect a huge life. And we have that in our power to do it. But we also have it in our power to withhold it. To choose not to. To choose not to spend the £75 on that little girl. And Jesus says that when we refuse to give a little girl like that a future, we've refused it to him. Jesus said, if you refuse somebody a cup of water, you've refused it to me. This is serious stuff. Because it's the working out of kingdom values like this that transfers earthly treasure into heavenly treasure. And when you've seen it, and when you've been involved in it, you never spend money the same way again, because you realize you've got options. And this is a huge challenge. What we spend now can be an investment in eternity or not. And that's why Jesus told two stories about it in Matthew chapter 13, verses 44 through to 46, in the parables that we know as the hidden treasure and the pearl. This is what Jesus said. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure that a man discovered hidden in a field. In his excitement, he hid it again and sold everything he owned to get enough money to buy the field. And again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant on the lookout for choice pearls. When he discovered a pearl of great value, he sold everything he had and bought it. These men were traders. And what Jesus is talking about here is an investment in something that will last. And we are encouraged in wise investment in the kingdom of heaven. Everybody with any sense saves for the future. And these parables challenge us as to what we are investing into eternity. Now, the idea to you of investing a sort of investment plan into eternity might seem a bit calculating. And in some ways it is. It's a deliberate intention to put your resources into eternity, to make them count forever. But at the same time, Jesus reminds us of the tension of truth, that where your treasure is, your heart is. So if your heart is on heavenly things, on heavenly values, on kingdom purposes, that's where you're going to put your money. But why? Because it's responding to the grace that the Lord Jesus has invested in your life. And you want to respond out of grace, out of his goodness, not because you have to, but because you want to. God lavished his grace upon us in Jesus because he wanted to, not because he had to. And your heart and your motives, if you like, are pivotal on all this. Because your heart sets your priorities of life. And it also sets your destiny. Proverbs 4:23, guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. Scripture tells us that what we've laid aside will be tested. Let me read you 1 Corinthians 3:10-15. Because of God's grace to me, I've laid the foundation like an expert builder. Now others are building on it. But whoever is building on this foundation must be very careful. For no one can lay any foundation other than the one that we already have, Jesus Christ. Anyone who builds on that foundation may use a variety of materials, gold, silver, jewels, wood, hay, or straw. But on the judgment day, fire will reveal what kind of work each builder has done. The fire will show if a person's work has any value. If the work survives, that builder will receive a reward. But if the work is burned up, the builder will suffer great loss. The builder will be saved, but like someone barely escaping through a wall of flames. And another translation says, by the skin of your teeth. Valuable things are normally hallmarked in some way. Do we have any precious metal specialists around? No? Valuable things are normally hallmarked in some way. Gold, silver, platinum, as in this silver hallmark that's on the screen behind you. The thing that's marked A is the maker's mark. It tells you whose it is, who did it. Number two, B, is the office that tested it and said what value it is. C tells you when it happened, that's the date. D is the mark that says it has been tested, tried, and on this date it has been found to be sterling silver. And E tells you the tax has been paid. There's a message there in itself, isn't there? That hallmark is on our lives. So what's the hallmark of heavenly treasure in your life and mine? 1 Thessalonians 2:19. After all, what gives us hope and joy? What will be our proud reward and crown as we stand before our Lord Jesus Christ when he returns? It's you! You! You are our pride and joy. It's the impact of your giving on other people. How many people will you meet in heaven who will say how you have blessed them? Maybe how you help them to be healed. Maybe how you help them to overcome hurts and habits and hang-ups. Maybe how you trained them. Maybe how you prepared them for a future. Maybe how you made the gospel available to them. Maybe how you funded radio broadcasts so they could hear it. Maybe you helped with translation of scriptures. Or you just generally did them good. That's the basis on which we will receive treasure in heaven. Every person in this room is amongst the top 5% richest people on this globe in material terms. How wealthy would we be if our material wealth now was a reflection of our heavenly treasure in the future? Some of you in this room are rich in heavenly treasure. You've invested your time and your energy and your money and your gifts in response to God's call out of your poverty, out of your riches. You've realized that anybody who has something has a ministry. If you've got money, you've got a ministry, even if you've not got very much. And you've exercised that ministry irrespective of your bank balance. You've invested in God's work. You've built strong Christians. You've met the needs of the disenfranchised, the poor, the orphans, the asylum seekers, the homeless. Your heart is rooted in the kingdom of heaven. And all you have and all you are is invested there. And it will be there waiting for you. You are taking it with you. But as the Corinthians verses say, some of you will be heavenly paupers. You've spent everything God gave you on yourself and your family. Your heart is rooted in the values of the world and the present. You've nothing invested in the kingdom. You've nothing invested in heavenly treasure. And when you get there, if indeed you are heaven bound, you'll find you did indeed leave it all behind. And as with any investment policy, it's never too late to start. Earlier helps. But maybe this morning you've realized that you've nothing invested for eternity. Maybe you're frittering things away on things that in the final analysis don't matter one fig. And maybe this morning you're making some investment, but your heart tells you it's not enough. You feel guilty. You feel dissatisfied. And somehow you know you need to do something about it. Well, what? I want to be really practical and help you on this. So let's sum up where we're up to now. If you've had an experience of Christ and you're following him wholeheartedly, and then you know you're going to be spending eternity in a place to which you can send treasure ahead to be kept waiting for your arrival. Why would you not want to do all that you can to prepare for that? Why would you not want to prepare? Because investing resources into the kingdom of God is ultimately the only sensible thing you can do, because it eternalizes the present. It eternalizes the present. It reflects the grace and goodness that God has poured into your life. And it makes a powerful statement of believing the truth that where your heart is, that's where your treasure is. So, like any treasure, there is a conversion formula. And I want to share it with you. And I want to set you aside a little task for this afternoon. Now, some of you who, when you were at school, struggled with algebra, and you hated it. Anybody hated algebra at school? Has anybody used it since? Anybody not used it since? Yeah, well, this is the moment that you learnt all that stuff to prepare you for, because I've got an equation for you. Those of you that did algebra at school, this is where it's all going to come together. And this is the formula, and I hope I'm not going to cause great chaos with all the cabling around the back here, but I want you to see it. And this is, I think, from Scripture. This is from Scripture. This is the formula. Anybody guess what HT stands for?
Heavenly treasure.
Heavenly treasure. Hallelujah, we're there. S, Q, M over W squared. Let me tell you what the components are. Heavenly treasure is indeed heavenly treasure. Anybody like to guess what S is? No. Sorry? No. It's the service or gift or whatever it is that you offer. It can be something you do, something you give, whatever it is. What is Q? Quality, Brenda. We're going to be looking tonight about how we can actually change this formula in our lives. We're going to be really, really practical tonight. So as Ian said, you know, this is just the first half, and with which tonight will make sense, because I'm going to show you from Scripture how you can build heavenly treasure and increase what you've already got. So S is a service or gift. Q is quality. Scripture tells us that God does not want your fag ends. He is not interested in your leftovers, tatty work, you know, not interested. Got to be good. M. No, not quite. Nearly. Same sort of feeling. Motive. I think I heard. The motive in which you give it. It's about treasure in heaven. I'm going to have to come around to the other side here. And this is the key bit on this final bit here. Can you come and do this for me? Because if I mess your drums up, there'll be all sorts of trouble. So if you could just write W there behind. What's W? Sorry? No. Withheld. It's divided by what you have chosen not to give. So SQM, service, times quality, times motive, divided by what you've chosen not to give. Now, let's look at it the other way around for mathematical. That's it. Thank you. Looking at it the other way around, if you have given everything, what is the number on the bottom? Nothing. What is any number divided by nothing? Infinity, as I learnt at school, or as Graham told me, thinks things have changed. It can actually be any number you want it to be. It's a good thought, isn't it? It puts it into the reality of where you go. Now, I've work this out from Scripture. I claim no real sort of unique insight into this, but this seems to me what Scripture is teaching. There's things you can do to change some of those numbers, and I hope you will. If you think the formula can be improved, we'll maybe give you a chance to improve it tonight. So something to chew over this afternoon. Apply that formula to you. How much you got? What are you going to go into heaven with? What figures can you change to build up treasure in heaven? And then tonight, we're going to look at some scriptures, and we're going to come up with 10 scriptural handy hints how to be rich in heaven. See you tonight.